Well, very nice to be here, and if you look on the screen, you'll see the subject I'd like to consider with you this morning is God's government. But before we do that, let's read a few verses from Matthew's Gospel, and these are very well-known words to us. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and this is how he taught them. He said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, I'd like you to also notice he says this, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, I'm sure you'd agree with me if I were to say to you that the news this week, of course, is the upcoming elections on Thursday. And by Friday morning, one way or another, you and I will be living under some kind of new Scottish government. But, you know, in the midst of all the campaigning that's been going on for the last 6 weeks or so, you and I have been encouraged to pray that God's government, God's kingdom, will soon take over. But you know, what has become very clear over the last few weeks is that although we live in the United Kingdom, we are definitely not a United Kingdom. Because you know, many people want different things from the government, but not only that, there are four countries who make up the United Kingdom, and indeed many of them just actually don't even want to be together. So we are not a United Kingdom. Now, not only that, you know, many people, they don't want a monarchy, so they don't want a king. And so we can say then that we are not united, and not only that, we are not a kingdom. Now, you know, the essential thing about a kingdom is you need a king who rules, and you need subjects who are ruled. And I believe there's only two kingdoms in the world today, that's Saudi Arabia and Jordan. But you know, in a true kingdom, there's no real parliament. You don't get to vote. You don't get to vote the king in, and you certainly wouldn't even dare to try and vote the king out. So you can see then, I'm sure you now can see the picture, we are not a United Kingdom. But you know, against that background, so there's all the different places of government. And it's, you know, it's very, very difficult for you and I to kind of fully understand this concept of the kingdom of God, because we don't live in a kingdom and haven't done for many, many years. Indeed, 800 years since the Magna Carta was signed, which then took the power from the throne to the people, democracy. But anyway, against all of that background, we see that God encourages you and I to pray that God's kingdom, God's government, might one day come soon. Now, the Bible also declares that you and I today, that there are many kingdoms going on in this world. But you know, God is all around us. God is king. He's in control. And as we look at things that are going around us, we might think, well, really, is God in control with all the things that are going on in the world? But you know, the Bible says that what happens up there in heaven affects what happens down here. You know, God started everything. In the book of Genesis, he tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. Despite what some scientists and evolutionists and humanists might say, God is in control. Now, it might not look that way, but God says that he is in control. Now, you know, apparently since 1914, 24 kingdoms in Europe or all over the world have disappeared. Now, of course, for you and I, we find it difficult to understand this concept of living in a kingdom because we like democracy. Because, you know, with democracy, you can vote someone in, and then if you don't like what they're doing, well, of course, you can vote them back out again. So many people are trying to, we don't really quite understand, what does it mean by the kingdom of God? Well, you know, the Bible says there is more than one kingdom operating in this world today. There are a multitude of kings. And you know, it even all began way back in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they turned their back upon God. They rebelled against God. And so they kind of said, well, we want our independence from God. And that's what trying to be king in your own little kingdom is like. You know, many people say, well, it's my life. I want to live it as I see fit. I'm captain of my own soul. And so we can see then that's the seeds of us wanting to be king in our own little kingdom. But, you know, we see it too very much so in the political world. You know, some people, I know someone was a community activist and then kind of ran the community council, is now a councillor, now this year wants to be a politician, an MP. And as we know, when someone becomes an MP, well, the next move, they now then want to move into be a minister and maybe even become the prime minister. And so then we can see that that's the way we operate, mankind. We always want to be king. We want to be king in our own little kingdom. And so God says there are many kingdoms going on all around us. Now, you know, evolution has taught us that we human beings, that we are the be-all and end-all of all of creation. In fact, just recently, there was a man called Desmond Morris. He died. And he'd written a book called, The Human Ape, or The Naked Ape. That's it, yes. And what he more or less said was that human beings, we are the top of creation. We are the most intelligent of all animals. But, you know, the Bible tells us that there is actually a creation above human beings. And the heavenly beings, there's cherubims, there are seraphims, there are angels, there are archangels, and then above all of them, there is Satan. And the Bible describes Satan as the prince of this world, the ruler of this world. And the Apostle John says that the whole world lies in the hands of the evil one. And so we can see then that there are many kingdoms operating in this world today. And that's why at times we seem to question and wonder, where is God? If God is all powerful, all holy, all good, why doesn't he come in and do something in this world? And so we see then that if we've only got a vague idea that God is in control of this world, then for you and I, we will not understand this meaning of the kingdom of God. But you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ, he came in to introduce God's kingdom and God's government. And when the Lord Jesus came, he taught about the kingdom of God in three ways. First of all, he said that the kingdom of God is growing. Now, it's not so much growing here in Britain, but it's certainly growing in Africa and in China. He also said that one day the kingdom of God will be seen here in this earth. Now, you know, before the Lord Jesus Christ came in Israel, they had been chosen by God to be his chosen people. And at that time, there was 12 tribes in the kingdom of Israel. But there came a time when the 12 or the 10 at the top of the country split away from the two. First of all, they said to God, we want a big king. And God says, well, I'm your king. Oh, but you're invisible. We want a big king that can lead us into battle. So they got a big king. They got Saul. Then the country went from bad to worse. So God gave them another king, King David. And he was just a little shepherd boy. And then following on him from him was Solomon. And the country expanded then. But there came a time when God said, I will send you a new king. He will not just be the king of Israel. He will be the Lord Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. And that's how the kingdom of God came into this world. But you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, you know, people rejected them. They says, well, you're not our idea of a king. We want someone who will rule. But the Lord Jesus came to serve. We want someone who will go around on a white horse. He entered Jerusalem on a donkey. We want someone who would be big and powerful, who would perhaps be born in a palace. But the Lord Jesus was born in a stable, and he came to serve his people. And at age 33, the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God's Son, actually chose to die upon a cross. You see, this was all part of God's great plan of salvation for you and I. You see, you and I, just like Adam and Eve, we have decided in our own hearts and our own life, I want to live my own life. I want to do my own thing. Well, God calls that rebellion. He calls it sin. And our sins must be dealt with. And so when the Lord Jesus came and when he went to the cross, the Bible clearly, explicitly tells us, the Old Testament prophets tell us, that Christ died for our sin. And that's why the Lord Jesus died upon the cross. He came to offer us salvation. And the message of the kingdom, very clear, it's very simple. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And so because the Lord Jesus, God's Son, chose to die upon that center cross, God's word tells us because he humbled himself, God has highly exalted him. He has given him a name above every other name. And one day in the future, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But you know, when the Lord Jesus died upon that cross, they crucified with him a criminal on either side. And you know, one of those criminals, he looked at the Lord Jesus and he saw something that many people didn't see. Because when he looked at the Lord Jesus on the cross, he didn't see him high lifted up on a cross. He actually saw spiritual insight. He saw him lifted high on a throne. He didn't see a crown of thorns. He saw a golden crown. And so he prayed, or he asked the Lord Jesus, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The Lord Jesus replied, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So here's a man who has got a true estimation of the Lord Jesus. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. But you know, there was another man, and he'd known the Lord Jesus not for 3 hours on a cross. He'd known him for about 3.5 years. His name was Judas Iscariot. Now, his estimation of the Lord Jesus, well, he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. But when he got those 30 pieces of silver, he then also got a bad conscience. So he ran in and he threw down the money. He said, I betrayed innocent blood. You see that? He only saw the Lord Jesus as an innocent man. So the question for you and I today is simply this. What is our estimation of the Lord Jesus? A thief on the cross, he saw the Lord Jesus completely different from Judas Iscariot. But what about you and I? What do we think of Christ? You see, the Apostle Paul simply says, Christ died for my sin. He had an estimation of the Lord Jesus. He recognized that the Lord Jesus was the Savior of the world, as well as God's Son. Paul puts it, Christ died for my sin. And the message of the kingdom is for you and I to see that the Lord Jesus is not just Jesus of Nazareth. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, King of kings, Lord of lords. And the Lord's message is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And that's why Christ died for us. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that one day the Lord Jesus, he will return. He will not just inaugurate his kingdom, he will set it up. It will be a physical kingdom. We will all see it, or many people will see it. And he'll come back not to offer salvation, but to judge and to rule. And then he will establish his kingdom that will reign forever. And then, as is written in the book of Revelation, it will then come true. The nations of this world have now become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. You see, one day the Lord will return. And when he returns, those who have not voluntarily and willingly accepted the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, who have not made Christ king in their life, who have not willingly become his subject, will not enter into the kingdom. God won't coerce anyone into his kingdom. And so therefore our opportunity to reject or neglect the Lord Jesus only takes place in this life. Because once we leave this world, our opportunity will be gone. And our place in eternity will be fixed. We'll either be in the kingdom or we won't be. The fact is, our country is divided very much now, and we see that with this coming election. But when the Lord Jesus returns, he will divide the planet. He will divide this world into two groups. Those who have accepted him and those who have rejected him. And so the Lord Jesus, he encourages us now and today. He says, pray that the Lord Jesus will return soon. And so we have to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we do indeed thank thee for our Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. Father, thy word tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And so, Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we ask now that thy Holy Spirit might take it and impress it upon all of our hearts, that we all might leave this place recognizing the lordship of our Lord Jesus and trust him. This we ask, giving thanks for this time together, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.